بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، باب بيان كثرة طرق الخير. قال الله تعالى: وما تفعلوا من خير فإن الله به عليم. وقال تعالى: وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله. وقال تعالى: فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره. وقال تعالى: ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. The 13th chapter of the book رياض الصالحين, titled بيان كثرة طرق الخير, the mention or explanation of vast number of ways or numerous ways of doing good deeds. Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ, and whatever good you do, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ, then verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. And Allah also says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ, whatever good you do, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ, Allah knows it. And Allah also said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى, whoever does good deed equal to the weight of an atom, يَرَهُ, he will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى, and whoever does an evil equal to the weight of an atom, he will see it on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى, verily your efforts are diverse and different. The purpose of this chapter is to show and to demonstrate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, has guided us to various ways of good deeds. And good deeds that we perform, they are of mainly three types. The good deeds that require your physical efforts, such as performing the salah. For salah, in order for you to perform salah or before salah, you need to make wudu. This is something to do with your physical actions and physical struggle. This is one type of good deeds. The second type of good deeds is to do with your wealth, such as zakah, sadaqah, charity, giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something, an action of worship or an act of worship or a good deed that is related to your wealth. And it may not require your physical struggle, but it requires your financial struggle. And the third one is the combination of both. Combination of both, your physical struggle, physical efforts, as well as your wealth, such as Hajj and Umrah. Obviously, for you to perform Hajj and Umrah, you have to spend your wealth. And when you go there, you have to travel, and then while you are there, you have to do the tawaf and sa'i and other rituals of the Hajj and Umrah. They are physical efforts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated and He has guided us towards various types of good deeds. And then He says, Inna sa'yakum lashatta, verily your efforts are diverse. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not enable every one of us to perform one type of good deed, one type of good deed all the time. For example, some of us are more keen in performing salah and nawafil, whereas others, they are not very much interested in performing nawafil. They do fulfill their obligation, their obligatory prayers, 5 daily prayers. But when it comes to nawafil, they may find it a bit difficult to concentrate or to perform nawafil. But they are interested, they are more interested in reading Quran. And you see some people, they like reading Quran, reciting Quran, listening to Quran more than their interest in performing nawafil. Some others, they are more interested in doing the dhikr of Allah while they're walking or sitting, while they are driving. No, they keep saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Astaghfirullah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Some people have this habit and they are more interested in this. Some others, they are more interested in spending their wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to their obligatory prayers, they just barely fulfill their obligatory prayers and they perform only Fard Salah. They are not well versed in the recitation of the Quran. They are always busy at their work, in their business. They do not get time to do the dhikr of Allah. But when it comes to their wealth, they are so keen in spending thousands of pounds in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, has given us various ways of performing good deeds. And this is the mercy of Allah. That is why Allah says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ. Whatever good you do, Allah is fully aware of it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whatever good you do, even if it is as small as the size of a particle, you will see it on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that. And then Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this chapter. The first one is the hadith of Abu Dhar Jundub bin Junada radiyallahu ta'ala, who says, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And Abu Dhar, as we previously said, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who accepted Islam in very early days. In fact, he was the fifth one who accepted Islam. And he was very, very pious and righteous. And he had detached himself from the dunya. And often he would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the question related to good deeds, various ways and the means of doing good deeds. So this is one of those examples that Abu Dhar radiallahu ta'ala, and he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلُ. O Messenger of Allah, which one is the best of the good deeds? Tell me the best of the good deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ. Believing in Allah and then striving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Making efforts, doing jihad in the way of Allah dhul jalali ikram. Then he says, I said, أَيُّ الرِّقَابِ أَفْضَلُ. Which kind or what kind of freeing the slave is the best one? What kind of slave is considered the best type of freeing the slave? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْفَسُهَا عِنْدَ أَهْلِهَا وَأَكْثَرُهَا ثَمَنًا. Someone who is the dearest to his master. And obviously a slave who is dearest to his master is the one who is very active and he can earn money and he can serve better. وَأَكْثَرُهَا ثَمَنًا. And the one who is most expensive. If you purchase that kind of slave and you free it for the sake of Allah, then that is one of the best deeds. And then he said, Abu Dhar radiyallahu ta'ala, because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, al-jihadu fi sabilillah, doing jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Dhar radiyallahu ta'ala told that, obviously going for jihad, it requires you to purchase your stuff and make some preparation, and you need to have some kind of wealth. Likewise, in order for you to free a slave, you need to have wealth. But Abu Dhar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he had no wealth out of his choice, because he was of the opinion that it is not permissible for a person to accumulate wealth, to store or to have any kind of savings. He held that opinion. So he himself chose poverty for himself. Then he asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, فَإِن لَمْ أَفْعَلُ O Messenger of Allah, what if I am unable to do all of this? The best of the deeds or to free best of the slaves. What if I cannot afford it? What if I cannot do it? Then he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تُعِينُ صَانِعًا أَوْ تَصْنَعَ لِأَخْرَقُ Then in this case, you assist and help someone who is doing a physical work. You assist them. أَوْ تُعِينُ لِأَخْرَقُ Or you help someone who is disabled. Someone who has limited ability to do something, you help them. And this is also one of the good deeds. Then he says, I said, O Messenger of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن ضَعُفْتُ عَنْ بَعْضِ الْعَمَلِ O Messenger of Allah, what if I myself cannot physically help someone, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَكُفُّ شَرَّكَ عَنِ النَّاسِ Then in this case, the best you can do is that you restrain your evil from people. Meaning you don't harm anyone. Don't cause any kind of harm to anyone. فَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ مِّنْكَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ Then this action itself will be considered as a form of charity from yourself upon yourself. Meaning you will be doing sadaqah and charity on your behalf and you will be benefiting yourself. Meaning the least you can do is not to harm anyone. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Muslim, man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. The true Muslim is the one from the evil of his tongue and his hands are other Muslims are saved. They are protected. So the least you can do, if you cannot help anyone, you cannot spend your money, you are poor, you cannot do anything, you cannot physically even help anyone, then the least you can do is not to harm anyone. Prevent the evil and harm from people, then this will be classed as sadaqah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it sadaqah. So this is one of the forms of sadaqah and charity. And eventually, you will be benefiting yourself. When you do not harm others, it means you will be concentrating on your own actions and you will be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second hadith is also narrated by Abu Dharr radiyallahu ta'ala, in which he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُصْبِحُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ سُلَامَ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً Every single morning, when one of you wakes up, a charity becomes due on every single joint of his body. Sadaqah and charity is due on every single joint of his body, every single morning. Then how to give the charity then? How many joints we have in our body? How can we give sadaqah and charity on behalf of every single joint? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu tasbihatin sadaqah." Each statement of subhanallah, each saying of subhanallah is sadaqah. So once you say subhanallah, you have paid sadaqah, you have paid charity on behalf of one of your joints. And now just multiply it. For example, if you say subhanallah 100 times, it means you have given sadaqah on behalf of 100 joints of your body. وَكُلُّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ And every single saying of Alhamdulillah is also sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَحْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ And every single saying of La ilaha illallah is also sadaqah. وَكُلُّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ Every single saying of Allahu Akbar is also sadaqah. وَأَمْرٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٍ Enjoining good, guiding someone to something good is also sadaqah. وَنَهْيٌ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ And preventing others from evils, from sins is also sadaqah. وَيُجْزِئُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ رَكْعَتَانِ يَرْكَعُهُمَا مِنَ الضُّحَى If you want to make it easy for yourself, then the Prophet ﷺ said, two rak'at nafil at the time of duha, after sunrise. Two rak'at of nafil will suffice from all of this. Meaning, if you were to pray only two rak'at after sunrise, then these two rak'at will suffice for the whole body, for all the joints of your body. So it is as by performing two rak'at, you have paid the sadaqah on behalf of every single joint of your body. Again, shahid min hadha al-hadith, the point of evidence or the proof from this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He has provided us various ways of performing good deeds. Each subhanallah is sadaqah, each alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised one of his companions who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, inna shara'i al-islami qad kathurat alayh. O Messenger of Allah, the laws of Islam, the legislations of Islam have become too much for me. This is halal, this is haram, I have to do this and not to do this, and it's too much. So please guide me to something that is simple and straightforward so that I can adhere to it and I can benefit myself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then in this case, la yazalu lisanuka rataban bi dhikrillah. Keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah. Keep saying and uttering subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And there are numerous ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that guide us towards the virtues and the significance and great virtues of these statements. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Keep uttering, keep saying these statements all the time. Astaghfirullah al-azim, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanb, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. And these kind of things. So you will be constantly earning reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us to these different kinds of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said at the end of the hadith, two rak'at of duha prayer will suffice from all of these good deeds. Meaning, these two rak'at are far better and more important and more virtuous than saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la ilaha illallah all the time. That is why whoever amongst us is able to perform these two rak'at, and this is minimum two rak'at. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he used to perform eight rak'at. As we previously mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not limit himself to obligatory prayers, only 17 rak'at, meaning the fard prayer only. Rather, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform far more nawafil than the fard prayer. At night, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform 11 or 13 rak'at, and then at duha time, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform another 8 rak'at, and then sunan al-ratiba, 12 rak'at that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to perform, 2 before Fajr, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. And then Salatul Awwabin and Salatul Ishraq. So many nawafil the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform, and he has encouraged us to perform as many nawafil as we can. But Salatul Duha is one of those nawafil that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform on a regular basis. So the maximum number of rak'at of Salatul Duha is 8. You perform 2 and 2 and 2 and 2. So the pay of 2 rak'at, and then you say salam, and then another 2, then like this 8 rak'at. Or minimum 2 rak'at. This is Salatul Duha. The time actually starts when the time for Salatul Duha starts after the brightness of the sun has spread completely. It's completely white and bright. So that is the beginning of Salatul Duha. As for the end, the end time comes to the Zawal time, the midday, the zenith. So until then, you have the opportunity to perform Salatul Duha. And if you were to perform right at the beginning of the day, as soon as you see the bright and the whiteness, then you can perform at that time. That is called Duha, because that is the Duha time, or usually translated as forenoon. Okay, but actually it's much earlier than that. And then if you were to delay it, then it is called, the same prayer is called Salatul Awwabin. Salatul Awwabin. Awwab means someone who oft repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has called it Salatul Awwabin, the prayer of those who oft repent to Allah dhul jalali wal ikram. So the same prayer, minimum 2 rak'at, maximum 8 rak'at, that you perform any time before the zenith, before the zawal time. So this is another way of performing good deeds. The third hadith in this chapter again is narrated by Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala. As you can see, he narrated many hadith similar to the act of worship and different various types of good deeds. So he says, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, عُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي حَسَنُهَا وَسَيِّئُهَا. The deeds of my ummah, the actions of my ummah were presented before me. حَسَنُهَا وَسَيِّئُهَا. Their good deeds as well as bad deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the actions and the deeds of my ummah, my followers, whatever they do, whether they are good or bad. فَوَجَدْتُ فِي مَحَاسِنِ أَعْمَالِهَا يُمَاءَ الْأَذَى يُمَاطُ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, from amongst the list of the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me, I saw as something harmful, or harmful object that is removed from the path, from the road. That was listed amongst the good deeds. So this is one of the good deeds. You're walking on the street, you find something harmful on the pavement, on the footpath, you remove it. This is classed as one of the good deeds. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I saw this good deed in the list of the good deeds. وَوَجَدْتُ فِي مَسَاوِئِ أَعْمَالِهَا. And I saw and I found in the list of the evil or bad deeds, النُخَاعَةُ تَكُونُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ لَا تُدْفَنْ. The phlegm that is spitted out in the masjid unburied. Obviously, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were no prayer mats in the masjid. The companion Dwarullahi and Ajma'in, people used to pray on the mud, on the soil. And many of those who had converted to Islam newly, they did not know the manners and the adab of the masajid. As we find many evidences in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them, they may not pay attention to the etiquettes of the masjid. So one of them may spit a phlegm within the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is one of the evil deeds. So when it comes to these kind of small evil deeds, I saw this in the list of the evil acts and bad deeds as well. So the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts for you every single good deed and every single bad deed. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never belittle any good deed. The fourth hadith is again narrated by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, أَنَّ نَاسًا قَالُوا. Some people said to Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. O Messenger of Allah, the rich people, the wealthy people, they have taken away all the rewards. يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّي وَيَصُومُونَ كَمَا نَصُومُ. They pray as we pray. They fast as we poor people, we fast as well. But the advantage they have is يَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُضُولِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. They give in charity, they do sadaqah with the surplus of their wealth. But we poor people, we do not have wealth. So it means that they have surpassed us and they have taken the advantage of this, of their wealth, and they have taken away all the reward. In performing the prayer, we are equal, rich and poor. When it comes to the fasting of the month of Ramadan, we are equal. We fast and they fast as well. But when it comes to giving the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have taken away all the reward. We poor people, we cannot attain this kind of reward. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مَا تَصَدَّقُونَ بِي. Are you not aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you, has provided for you a way by which you can give charity? And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ بِكُلِّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَ. Every saying subhanallah is sadaqa. This is also sadaqa. Sadaqa is not always to give or spend your wealth in the way of Allah. Rather, saying subhanallah is also sadaqa. So you poor people who do not have wealth to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to give in charity, then you can increase saying subhanallah. So by doing this, you will be accumulating more and more reward for yourself. And then in this case, in this way, you can compete with those who are rich and wealthy and they spend their wealth in the way of Allah dhul jalal ikram. And then he said, kullu takbiratin sadaqa, every saying Allahu Akbar is sadaqa, every alhamdulillah is sadaqa, every la ilaha illallah sadaqa, amr bil ma'roof, enjoining good is sadaqa, nahyun anil munkar and nahy al munkar and forbidding evil is also sadaqa, wa fi bud'i ahadikum sadaqa. And he said, in fulfilling your lawful desires is also sadaqa, meaning you're satisfying your sexual desires with your spouse legally and Islamically in a permissible way is also sadaqa. The companion said, O Messenger of Allah, أَيَأْتِ أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٌ. How is this? That one of us, he fulfills his desire and he satisfied his sexual need. How can he be rewarded for that? He's fulfilling his desires. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَرَأَيْتُمْ, you tell me, لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا وِزْرٌ. If he was to satisfy his sexual need in a way that is not permissible, in haram way, would he be sinner or not? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. Then he said, if he satisfied his need in a halal way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him as the reward of sadaqah. So this is the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. And there is a longer version of this hadith, that these same companions, they came back to Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them that you can compete with the rich people, with wealthy people, by increasing things, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and every single subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar will be considered as sadaqah from yourself. They started doing this. And when these wealthy and rich companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they found about this, they also started doing this. They also started saying, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And then these poor companions, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, O Messenger of Allah, now what do we do? That now, initially we said, we are equal in performing salah, we are equal in observing our fast, and they were doing more sadaqah, and you guided us towards saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And now these people have found out, they have found out about the reward of this statement, and they have started doing this as well. What do we do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, this is the bounty of Allah, this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has bestowed on them. So continue performing good deeds and you will be rewarded for every single action. So this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables and he gives tawfiq to some people more than others, but it does not mean that you give up hope or you despair of the mercy of Allah. Rather, your duty is to try your best to do as many good deeds as you can, whatever is within your capacity, you continue. If you cannot spend your wealth in the way of Allah, then find other ways of doing good deeds, probably seeking knowledge, reading Quran, doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for all of your deeds. The next hadith is the similar, which is narrated by Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala, who says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every single morning, the joint of your body has a sadaqah, or sadaqah is due on every single joint of your body every single morning. And then he said, ta'adilu bayna thnain, you mediate between two people who have trouble amongst each other, you mediate and you establish justice amongst them. This is one of the good deeds and it will be classed as sadaqah. وَتُعِينُ الرَّجُلَ فِي دَابَّتِهِ فَتَحْمِلُهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ تَرْفَعُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ تَرْفَعُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعَ صَدَقَة. And he said, you assist someone to mount his beast. So basically, you help someone mount on his beast, on his camel, on his horse. You help him, then this is also sadaqah. Or you help them to load their luggage or their stuff on top of their beast. Obviously, nowadays, if you help someone carry their luggage, this is also sadaqah. And then he said, wal kalimatu tayyibatu sadaqah, every good statement is also sadaqah. Wa kullu khutwatin tamshiha ila salati sadaqah, every single step that you take towards the masjid in order to perform salah, it is also sadaqah. Wa tumitu al-adha an at-tariqi sadaqah, and you remove harmful object from the path, from the road, from the pavement, is also sadaqah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us various ways of performing good deeds. The next hadith is collected by or narrated by our mother Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُ خُلِقَ كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ مِّن بَنِي آدَمَ عَلَىٰ سِتِّينَ وَثَلَاثِ مِئَةِ مِفْصَلٍ. He said, every single insan from the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is created on 360 joints in his body. And then he said, فَمَنْ كَبَّرَ اللَّهَ وَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَهَلَّلَ اللَّهَ وَسَبَّحَ اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهَ وَعَزَلَ حَجَرًا عَنْ طَرِيقِ النَّاسِ أَوْ شَوْكَ أَوْ عَظْمًا عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ أَوْ عَنْ طَرِيقِ النَّاسِ أَوْ أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ نَهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ عَدَدَ السِّتِّينَ وَالثَّلَاثِمِئَةِ فَإِنَّهُ يُمْسِي يَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَدْ زَحْزَحَ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ النَّارِ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever says Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Allahu La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, and Astaghfirullah, and or the person removes something harmful or harmful object from the path of the people, be it a stone or a thorn or a bone or something, anything that is causing any kind of, that can be harmful to the people, and he removes it, all of this is class sadaqah on his behalf. And then he says, عَدَدَ السِّتِّينَ وَالثَّلَاثِ مِئَةِ, you have 360 joint in your body, and by doing all these good deeds, you will be paying sadaqah and charity on behalf of all these joints. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever counts these 360 good deeds every day, فَإِنَّهُ يُمْسِي يَوْمَئِذٍ قَدْ زَحْزَحَ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ النَّارِ, by evening the person becomes as he walks on this earth while he has secured and saved himself from the fire of hell. Meaning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to try our best, or sometime we should try to even count how many good deeds I have done. So for example, if you were to say Subhanallah 100 times, Alhamdulillah 100 times, Allahu Akbar 100 times, La ilaha illallah 60 times, so this is 360. So by saying this, by doing this 360, by the evening it will be as you are walking on this earth, and for that day you have secured yourself and you have protected yourself from the fire of hell. As the scholars have said, it also indicates that if the person passes away in that evening, it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected him from the punishment of the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. The next hadith is also the hadith of Abu Dharr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ghada ila al-masjid aw raha a'adda Allahu lahu fil jannati nuzula kullama ghada aw rah." Whoever goes to the masjid in the morning or he goes to the masjid in the evening, for each of his going to the masjid, each time he goes to the masjid in the morning or evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares for him hospitality or special food in Jannah. Kullama ghada aw rah. Every single time he goes to the masjid in the morning or evening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares for him hospitality and special food in Jannah. Next hadith, also narrated by Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala, who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ya nisa al-muslimat, O Muslim women, he said, لا تحقرن جارة لجارتها ولو في السناشات." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not belittle giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of charity, and no neighbors should belittle giving in charity to her neighbors, even if it is a hoof of a sheep or hoof of a goat," meaning something that you may consider to throw it away, but if your neighbor can benefit from it, then give it to him, give it to her, so that they can, and this will be classed as one of the good deeds on your behalf. Next hadith is the hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala again, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'una aw bid'un wa sittuna shu'bah." That iman or belief or faith has over 70 or 60 branches. "Afdaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah." The uppermost branch of iman is the statement of la ilaha illallah. That is the highest level of iman. "وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ." And the least or the smallest one of the deeds or the branches of the iman is إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ, removing harmful objects from the path, from the road. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And haya and modesty is a great part of iman. It's a great part of iman. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُقًا وَخُلُقُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَاءِ. Every deen, every religion has an outstanding or distinctive quality. And the distinctive quality of this deen, deen of Islam, is haya. This is something that actually differentiates the Muslim from non-Muslim, the believer from disbeliever. Haya. You must have haya in your eyes. You must have haya in your sight. You must have haya in your hearing. You must have haya even in your statements. You must have haya in your dealing with people. You must have haya in your behavior, in your akhlaq and your manners. Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. Haya is a great part of iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-haya'u wal-imanu qurina jami'an." Al-haya wal imanu qurina jami'an. Haya and iman. Haya and iman. Modesty and iman. They are linked together. Idha rufi'a ahaduhuma rufi'a al-akhar. When one of them is taken away, the other one is also taken away. Meaning, if there is no haya, then there is no iman. If there is no iman, there is no haya. That is why the person who does not have iman and belief, you can expect any kind of immoral activity or evil act from that person. If he has no haya, because he has no iman. If there is no iman, there is no haya. And the person who has iman, he must have haya. If he has no haya, then he must question his iman. Because the mu'min is someone who has haya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw a person who was advising his brother, and he was saying, "Don't be shy all the time. You don't need to have too much haya. And he was admonishing him. He was advising him. The Prophet ﷺ passed by him, and when he heard him saying this, he said, "Da'ahu fa inna al-haya'a min al-iman." Leave him alone. Haya is part of iman. What are you saying to him? Don't have haya? Haya is part of iman. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khair." Haya brings nothing other than good. Haya is always good. The more haya you have, the stronger iman you have. The less haya you have, the weaker iman you have. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman." Haya is a great part of iman. So we conclude by this hadith, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and ability to perform as many good deeds, various good deeds as we can, so that Allah subhanahu